Yeah, so hi, I'm Sarah, I'm an addict.
I'm Sarah.
I thought it was going to be a really big room with loads of people I don't know, and actually I know half the people here, and it's nowhere near as intimidating as I thought it was going to be, so that's really nice. And everyone's been really friendly, so thank you. So I am, oh God, cliche, I'm going to check in briefly. I stayed out too late after a meeting last night, and then I got to Waterloo, and there'd been some sort of disaster or drama there, and there were no trains going back to the bit of the suburbs of London where I live, so I had to go to a different bit of suburban London and catch two buses quite a long way because I was about three or four towns over from where I needed to be. So, and I have got my working hours set up so I can collect my son from school, which means leaving the house at 6 o'clock. So I was not particularly happy to not get home till after midnight last night. So I'm a bit discombobulated. I did manage to just go and lie down for about 40 minutes after work, which has kind of reset me a bit, but please bear with me if I'm slightly incoherent. As we were kind of going through the readings, I was sort of desperately racing in my mind, like outlining, you know, what I was going to say in the chair, and then it was almost like I wanted to have a fully written, brilliant, amazing script that I was just going to be like, hey. But firstly, that's not how brains work, is it? And secondly, that would probably be kind of glib. This evening, hearing a moment to remember why we're here, I just immediately thought, because I don't want what happened to my dad and what happened to a really lovely partner of mine to happen to me, which is just dying dying of alcoholism or dying of an overdose. So, it is life and death stuff, and I've got a bit of an anniversary this week. It's not my clean date, but this week, 9 years ago, I was heavily pregnant and waiting to score, and it was freezing cold. It was a sort of blustery kind of damp day like yesterday, and the person I was waiting to score from was really late, and I was sort of sitting on the edge of a fence, and my feet went really numb, and it was just humiliating and awful, and I was kind of at the end of a sort of battle with myself around, I knew that social services were all kind of geared up to take my son away when he was born, if I didn't get clean. And I also knew that if I didn't get clean at this point in the pregnancy, that it was going to have more impact on, you know, what happened. And I have to live with the fact that I used drugs while I was pregnant. And if anyone's judging me, then that's their shit. I judge me every day for it. But I had a really interesting moment yesterday because I sort of talked a few times in chairs about that kind of alchemical process, like I don't know how things flipped. And someone shared something in a meeting yesterday, which is, we know how we do this. We work steps and we go to meetings. And I thought, yeah, that's true. But that the gap for me, and I thought, what's in the gap? And I suppose what's in the gap must be a higher power or some beauty in the universe, because I tried for so long to get clean. And I couldn't get clean. I just always ended up using, and I was desperate, and I was using heavily, and I was pregnant, and it was awful, and everything was falling to pieces. And I stopped using on anger at a therapist who told me my life was going to fall to pieces, and I made her my spirit animal of rage, and one day at a time, I didn't use on that. But actually, I know how it works to not feel pain and feel completely bonkers all the time, and that's by working the steps and coming to meetings. And it's a mixture for me. It's a mixture of the pragmatic and something that is kind of strange and a bit magical, and I don't know what happened. I'm a third of the way through here, so I'm going to really quickly, like I said, I could talk about my childhood for the entire share. I'm not going to. Suffice to say, my dad was an alcoholic, my mum's very codependent and a bit of a workaholic and not very available, and I always felt unsafe when I was a kid, and I was very withdrawn, and my drug use was a progression of kind of extroversions, like a realisation that when I drank and took one drug and then another drug and another drug, I kind of could assume this protective coloration, like one of those little hoverflies that pretends to be a wasp. I could pretend that I was this very kind of like campy, loud, exuberant, outrageous personality rather than this sort of kind of rather broken, you know, anxious child who just wanted to read Narnia books and draw and, you know, was bullied and had eating disorders and stuff. And my using kind of took me further and further out of myself and further into the world. And then I found my drug of choice, which I'm just going to say was heroin, and I just shut my whole world down like an old-fashioned television, you know, the white dot just before the screen goes black. And I, that's where I went with my using, and I lost a partner to it, I lost friendships to it, my life was chaos, like I nearly died several times, just, you know, I was hospitalised with really bad infections and again nearly died, and it didn't bother me at all. And it took an external thing for me. It took the fact that for some reason I wanted to be a mother. And I didn't think I wanted kids, but when I was pregnant, I was absolutely grimly determined that my child was not going to be adopted by the probably much nicer, kind of affluent, appropriate middle-class couple who were together and passed all the psychological profiling, who were desperate for this perfect baby that I was going to produce. You know, he was mine, and they could fuck off. And oh God, I felt awful, because now I'm thinking someone's probably logged onto the meeting who's going through trying to adopt a child and is thinking, Jesus. Anyway, I'm sorry if you're that person, but I wanted to keep my little boy. And I came to meetings under duress. I came to meetings because my mother told me, when I sort of fessed up to her, that actually I had relapsed and that I had been weird the last couple of years because I had relapsed, but my relationship with my family was thus that it sort of, it was just like, I, you know, well, that says a lot, doesn't it? Like, when your family know that you're a bit, like, there's something a bit wrong, but don't actually pinpoint that you've relapsed on crack and heroin. That shows a certain kind of, like, lack of, I don't know, communication, maybe, or intimacy. So she basically, when I said, look, I have relapsed and I'm in a lot of trouble now, she'd only help me if I go to meetings. And I went to meetings begrudgingly. I went to meetings resentfully. I was frightened of people, but also just didn't like them. I went to therapy and had a 12-step kind of evangelizing counselor or therapist, or whatever she was, told me that I was going to car crash my life and lose my child and take a load of people down with me. And I stopped using after that day 9 years ago when I sat on the fence for 2 hours waiting for someone to deliver me some drugs. Just out of sheer bloody-mindedness, but I was in a lot of pain, and although I went to meetings and I started to form relationships, so I suppose that kind of magic of emotional connection with people and relationships that were still occasionally transactional, because I did get 13th step to my first year, yay. My relationships were more kind of, I don't know, just about people trying to support each other, and I became receptive to that. And I had this massive, as I became more receptive to NA and I started kind of forming those relationships, there was one suggestion that I couldn't get my head around, which was that alcohol is a drug. And I kind of wanted things to be linear in this chair and not like fragmented and like a cloud of midges or something, but sorry, it's a cloud of midges. I hope it's not too weird to try and follow. But yeah, my dad died of his alcoholism, and I couldn't accept that my drinking was problematic. And I can't believe the level of my denial that I would do things like, you know, stay up after, you know, we'd drunk before the pub, we'd drunk in the pub, we'd drunk in someone's flat after the pub, everyone else had gone to bed, and then I'm balancing on a stool, rummaging through like the sticky dregs of various holiday bottles they've got on top of a kitchen cabinet, thinking, oh, could I drink like, you know, licorice flavored whatever, or this, you know, what is this? Like limoncello, like would that mix with licorice flavored Sambuca? And actually being in recovery, a lot of that stuff's been thrown into kind of, just into relief that I've seen those patterns of behaviour and just thought, God, how did I not see that? But that's what the steps are for. So I, after a year, I decided, I'll be 8 years on New Year's Eve this year, so just nearly 8 years ago, that actually I didn't want to keep drinking. And it was like that kind of admission and that step one around that that opened the doors for me. I had a sponsor, she was my second sponsor. My first sponsor was just like, actually, I can't deal with you. I'm giving you to Melissa. And she'd stuck by me, and she's just one of those people, she just waits calmly, thank you, and kindly for me to get in touch, and she's available, and she's never pushed me about anything. And some people talk about their sponsors who really like their sponsors laid down the law about this, and I just sort of think, okay, maybe that works for you. I was kind of raised supposedly Marxist, but more kind of anarchist by my dad, and any kind of authority, I'm just like, no, fuck off. So I started working the steps with my sponsor, and gosh, 4.5 minutes for 8 years recovery. Okay, I started working the steps with my sponsor, and I did steps 1 to 3 several times. And this is where they're kind of just like, just take the suggestions and yes, we do know how it works, don't we, comes in. Doing steps 1 to 3 is really useful. Doing step 4 is a game changer. But I'd heard so many people talk about step 4 being this big fucking drama. And I'm such a resentful person that I just, and I like, and such a hater and such a like, just an obsessor about sort of things about myself and things that other people have done to me, that every time I kind of looked at it, it just seemed so overwhelming. And I did actually start it, but unfortunately, the point at which I started it, I kind of did wrote my tables of like, you know, names. I mean, my family were like front and center, and then just like everyone else I've ever met in my life afterwards. I then had done a master's, you know, when my son started nursery, and then I sort of started volunteering, and then I got a job, a full-time job, for the first time in my life, in my mid-30s, because like I said, lots of heroin and just like sleeping and reading books and being in hospital with blood infections and stuff, so not so much with the having a job. And I, it just felt really overwhelming. So lockdown was a very kind of intense experience in a lot of ways, and a very strange experience. And it was difficult because my son has autism and ADHD, and he's a fucking handful. And at one point I was having to homeschool him and work from home, which was just like trying to look busy because my job I can't actually do from home. But there was a point during lockdown, like proper lockdown over a year ago, where I was furloughed, and then my son was allowed to go back to school. And I basically raced through the steps in 3 months. I got to step 9. I haven't got any further. That was about a year ago. Then like the world has just been happening again. And step 10, it's sort of like, oh, you know, being serene. I'm too busy to be serene, apparently. But I have to say, I don't actually see myself as having kind of improved as a human being particularly, but every time I've done a chair since I've done steps 4 and 5, one of my friends will share back how much nicer I am or how much I've grown as a person, which is kind of, I don't know, nice and also a bit like, Jesus, how bad was I? Because I just still feel really fucked a lot of the time. But I feel a lot better than I did. And sometimes, I don't know, I mean, I'm living with my mum at the minute for reasons that are kind of convoluted, and I've only got 2.5 minutes, so I won't go into them. But I really struggle, and I sort of think, oh, well, the step 4 really didn't take around this stuff, and the step 9 has been suspended till I'm not living with her, because it just feels a bit overwhelming to do that amends when we're right sort of under each other's feet all the time. But I just, my kind of key message would be, please don't put off doing the steps, because it's just fucking painful. And now I sometimes wonder if I would have been a lot happier and a lot more stable and a lot better a friend and a mother and all those things if I'd done it more quickly, which is kind of painful and yet another thing for me to add to a list of regrets. But that's not really what NA is about, is it's not about flagellating yourself. I also, I don't know, I don't have a formal process of meditation. I was doing a guided meditation to go to sleep for a bit, and I kind of fallen out of that habit. And I find the term mindfulness so incredibly cloying. But I just try to take a little bit of time every day to just be kind of present and just focus on something and look at some leaves with light shining through them and just be thankful for the fact that I live in a world where there is beauty and there is happiness and there is kindness. And I constantly pray now to forgive myself because I find that's just all encompassing. You know, I can pray to change outcomes, and I can pray, I don't know, that I haven't caused offence, and I can pray all these things, but if I pray to forgive myself, and if I pray for, like, forgive myself as in be kind, do you know what I mean? Like, to forgive myself, like, oh my God, I did a shit thing, but also, like, forgive myself, like, give myself a bit of fucking love, and a bit of just, like, it's okay, and I pray for acceptance, and that's just over 15 minutes, so I'm going to end on that. Thanks.
Thank you.